Thank you, Jack, for that beautiful prayer. I can tell it came from the heart. May God keep on blessing you. We're going to start with the alphabet. As usual, in the Boscobel and Peru conferences, it seems to become kind of uniform that we have a great class. And like these boys mentioned a while ago, and I emphasize boys, because one of them is not you, uniform. That's my friend and buddy, Jack Everly. He's as young as I am.
Wow.
How about that? Anyway, we like to start with Alpha. And I don't pronounce it as Alpha, really. It's, I'm going to try to pronounce it as much as possible in Greek phonology. So it would be Alpha. Alpha as in father. And better yet, as you can see up there on, your, on the screen, Alpha as in Agathos. And notice where the accent is over the Omicron, just before the Sigma. The accent is there for a purpose, and that is to stress your voice as you say the word Agathos, which means everybody. Good. Amen. Good. And those asterisks there, I'm not too sure what I've got them there for, other than to refer to Philippians 1:6 on that one. But I do recall where the Lord did say, "Why callest me thou Agathos? For only God is Agathos." Jesus, the Christ of God, was just simply announcing that he was very God. When he said, "Why callest me thou good?" So much for Agathos. But that's not all. As you pursue the language of God and find other beautiful words that actually mean Jesus Christ, because he is the Word. We'll go next to Beta, and I'm not going to take as long as I did with Alpha, because that would take all night like we did last year or the year before that. We stayed up till midnight and a little more, and I'm getting a little older now, and I can't stay very long. I can stay 43 minutes, and that's about it.
So be
alert for 43 minutes, and then you can relax. I'm just kidding. We're just going to have a good time learning. I know learning, because it's God doing the teaching from His Word. We'll go to the next word, and it's pronounced beta. A lot of people say beta, but that doesn't matter. You can pronounce it beta if you want to, if you're comfortable. But I'm going to, like I said, pronounce it as close as possible as I can to the Greek. I did. I was raised with a lot of Greeks, and I know how they speak. So we'll do our best to do that. Beta. Look at the accent. The accent there is a circumflex accent over the iota, and it's pronounced braveon. Braveon. And that braveon, I do have a story for every one of these beautiful words. That prize there is found in Philippians 3:14. That's the prize of the high calling. And rule in Colossians 3:15 is let. And let the Word of God rule in your hearts. Rule means to umpire in the Greek. So I would let Jesus Christ be my umpire any day in the week, 24 hours a day. And that's acknowledging the Word of God. Okay, well, let's go to the next one, which is Gamma. Gamma. And you would pronounce the following word with the accent over the alpha, which is grammata. Or you could also say Grama Singh, which is John 7:15 and John 5:47. And if you need copies of these scriptures, if you want to make notes and write them down, if it's hard for you to see the smaller print there, just ask Kathy here for a copy of this screen, of this transparency, and she'll be more than happy to make you a copy. And we've got them right here. We'll go to the desk and copy them for you. And you can take them home and enjoy them. Gramata. That is has to do with grammar, as you can see. And in particular, the writing of the scripture, the writing of the word, the writing from a copy head, like that would be a copy head. We would try to write just like it is there on the screen, using that as a copy head, which is sort of like a metaphor or an idiom for the copy head of life is our Lord Jesus Christ. And it admonishes us or encourages us to be like Him. So we have actually a grammata in Christ Jesus. So you see the closeness of every single word of God, how close it is to being Himself. He is the Word. And the Word is God. The Word became flesh. Beautiful. On and on. We could go on for hours and hours. The next one is Delta. Delta. And it's pronounced, this particular word is, notice that the accent is over the what letter? Everybody. Omega. Right. Delta. Diyoko. Diyoko. I pursue towards our goal. That you'll find in Philippians 3:14. I pursue toward the goal. And what is the goal? The goal is skopon. That's the goal. That's the word for goal, anyway. But the real goal is, I know that you have known already, but the goal really is the prize of the high calling. The braveon, the one you saw over there in Beta. The braveon, prize of the high calling, 3:14. And while I'm there, I remember another warning, I guess you'd call it. Braveon is used also in a warning by Paul in Colossians. That is kata braveon. Kata is against braveon. That kata means that it's against the prize. And it's a warning because it says beware lest any man spoil you or defraud you or steal the prize from you. And that would be Satan trying to take the beautiful word of God away from your knowledge. He can do that very easy if we do not walk worthy, if we do not walk circumspectly or gingerly in life and keep our eyes focused on the Ramata, the Word of God, or the person of Jesus Christ Himself. I think that's good to know, don't you? Yes, absolutely. Thank you. The next one is going to be Epsilon. I'm sorry. Yes, Epsilon, but the reason I say I'm sorry, I wrote Epiphania. Notice where the accent is over the Alpha. The reason I said I'm sorry, I was going to say Epsilon, as in Epsilon. When I saw Epiphanion there, okay. But anyway, it's Epiphanion. And normally, when you would see Epiphanion, you would naturally say Epiphania, which is the appearing. Epiphania is actually the root word. And Epiphanion there is an inflection of the root word. So when you see different letter at the end of a form, I'll call it a form, because Greek words are not words, they are forms. And in this case here, epiphanion is the appearing with Christ in 2 Timothy 4:8. And as you all already know, that 2 Timothy 4:8 is where Paul was saying that he has fought the good fight, he has run the race, he has kept the faith, and that now it's time for him to depart, and the time is at hand. And I'm not going to go any farther than that because I know someone is teaching on 2 Timothy. So I'm going to leave that alone and let you give us the exciting pearl and beautiful words that we are going to hear from the rest of the speakers in this beautiful conference that it's thoroughly enjoyable every year. That's why we're here. So we'll go to the next letter. And it is, it sounds like a Z, but it's not pronounced Z. Listen to the pronunciation. It's Z. Z, like doesn't. Zoe, which means life. Life that he gives, not just any life. It's the life that the Lord Jesus Christ, and only he can give that life. And he gives that life only by his words. In John 6:63, it reminds me of a beautiful passage of scripture there. One of the most beautiful to me is where the Lord Jesus Christ said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. So they give life. The words of the Lord Jesus Christ give life. And he maintains this life as he promises and admits and declares in Colossians 3:4. I'm going to speak on Colossians sometime tomorrow. So I'm going to save some of those comments for tomorrow. And we'll come to the Eta letter. Eta is the long of Epsilon. And it's not Eta, it's Eta. Eta. On this one here, it's esteem others better. It's got an inflection of menoi, and it's heku, where the accent is over the upsilon. Heku menoi. Esteem others better than thyself. Philippians 2:3. And there's something rich there to know with this, but I won't go into that because I don't want to go too long. The next one is like a TH in English, theta, and it's pronounced theta. And the example here is thelematos. Again, it is a beautiful word. It's a good pleasure of his will. That would be the good pleasure of the Father. And it was his good pleasure to give us the Son, Jesus Christ, as a gift to all mankind, forgiveness, remission of our sins. That's so beautiful to think about anyway. We'll go to the next one. Iota. Iota. Iskus is the word, which means human being strength. The strength of a human is iskus. That it looks like an X there. In English, it would be a CH, like Christ or Christos. Iskus, human being strength. It's not God's strength. Well, it's God's strength in that he gives us humans human strength. It's still by grace. But God's strength is dunamis, as you can see there. Dunamis, and it's found all over the scriptures. I don't have, it's a long list. But it's in Philippians 4:1. And that's what the asterisks are there for, is to look up the scripture. Dunamis. And that is strength or power or ableness of God. And then we'll come to the next letter, which is kappa. And from kappa you'll find the word kurios. Kurios is always Lord. You can insert master. Probably. You can insert head, but that's not the word for head. But in your heart, he's still Lord. So you don't want to mistake that for kephale, which is head. So I'll mistake, for the sake of this letter, kappa kurios, as master or supreme in authority. Ephesians 6:9, Lord. We'll go to Landa next. And I wish I could really say some things about Landa, and in particular the word logos, because that word, or form rather, is the form in which is found, again, the Lord Jesus Christ. John 1:1. And not ki ha ton logos. In the beginning was the Word. And not ki is the beginning. And not only the beginning, but in the beginning is also the Lord Jesus Christ. In the beginning is also God the Father. In the beginning is a very, very important word. You can actually say for the word in the beginning, Jesus Christ. Simply, surely, and joyfully. Praise the Lord. Christ and God, John 1:1. One, I don't know who's speaking on John, but I'm sure they're going to make a point of that. Okay, from London we'll go to Mu. Mu, and the example is Metta Ske Matise. Well, that's a good one. Transform. Philippians 3:21. And there's a big dialogue on that, which we will skip for now. Or maybe I should continue with that until Kathy gets the transparency ready. Because we're going to go into the letter that follows Nu, into the letter Nu. Neon, which means new man. What an exposition can be made from that form, neon. I heard Charlie Welch, and I say Charlie because I feel like I know him by first name. I love the guy. It'd be nice to see him there, him and Paul together. Wouldn't it be great? It's going to be wonderful. Amen. Not with me around. Oh, I hope that's true. And that's, we will. We'll get to enjoy them to the fullest. Praise the Lord. All right. Now, new man, Colossians 3:10. That new man, as you all know, when we speak of the new man, is what we are here as a group. The new man is the church. That's the church there. And we have a head, even the Lord Jesus Christ. What a head. There's a one that I must mention to you. It has the word kephale in it. It's a ana kephaleo sastai. Ana kephaleo sastai. The Lord did that in the Old Testament. All it means is the head gathering together in one. All things in Christ gathering together. When he gathered all the Israelites together, took them across the Red Sea, had them baptized, waterless baptism, baptized them into Moses. Man, that's a dissertation personified. Right, Al? Amen. I know you know about that. And I know the rest of you do too. And we thank God for it. The next one is pronounced C, like KS together, C, and the form is pronounced Xulon. Notice where the accent is over the Upsilon, Xulon, and that means steak, And it doesn't mean steak and eggs, folks. It means steak where the Lord Jesus Christ was nailed to. And along with that nailing, which he counted joy, by the way, he included all the ordinances, all the washings, and all the religious movements that are going on today, where you don't have to be guilty of not keeping them any longer, because he nailed them to the tree in Peter's terminology, but in Paul's terminology, it's the cross of Christ. That's why we've got crucifixion there. And that suon is actually the instrument that was used. Find it in Acts 5:30, and that's what the asterisk is there for. Where are we now? Okay. Omicron. Omicron. Anamati. Anamati, again, is another beautiful form of which we do every single day. More than once a day, when groups like ourselves get together, we give thanks. I noticed Jack Everly's prayer today, tonight, and every time we prayed, give thanks. Thanks to one. Thanks to the Lord. As in Colossians 3:17. And everybody said, amen and thanks. Thank you, folks. That's beautiful. Okay, Anamati. Anamati. That's the accent over the second Omicron. The first Omicron there is in Anamati. The first marking there is a comma that is rightly written. It's not for an accent. It's not an accent. It's a comma. And the comma is for the purpose of aspiration or a breathing mark. Thank you back there. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. If it was inverted, what would it be? Hanamati. But it's not Hanamati. You'll know what it is when you see that breathing mark. Anamati. It's giving of thanks. We'll go to P. P as in pleroma. P as in green pea is the pronunciation of that letter, and the form is pleroma. And Mike, you know how wonderful a word that is. In fact, you gave a talk in Lafayette, Indiana, when I heard you emphatically uplifting this particular word. Pleroma is fullness. And with other inflections, it means full or being filled. Or pleromatas, which you'll find also in Colossians 3:19, it's not 3:19, it's well, I'm going to talk on that tomorrow, so I'll let you know exactly where and what. Pleroma. I have enjoyed every minute of my study with that word. And it brings to mind everywhere that I've learned it or encouraged me and given me a zeal for this word. Kathy and I enjoy it very much in the morning when we have our prayers. And praying for the saints. And we know the saints are praying for us. And that's good. And while I'm there on the word good, when anyone in the new man in the church hurts, we all hurt. And the word says that. And I encourage you to pray, like Paul encourages us to pray for the church. Pray for the saints, like Epaphras, who prayed laboriously for the saints. And he was on a one-on-one touch with the Lord Jesus Christ, even as you are, folks. Every one of you in the new man. You have a one-on-one relationship, one-on-one communing with God. When you open up that book, you walk in that holy ground. Right, Hal? Amen. It's true. Right, honey? And Lori. Beautiful. Okay. My goodness, how do you pronounce this next one? It's Rome. It's an R. You can say Rome if you want to. No problem. But Rome is, this word is Rizzo. It's a root word of Episomenae. And it means, it's a very rich word, very rich, is to take root. Take root of what? Take root of my words. Take root and be rooted and grounded in especially one word, love. Be rooted, grounded in love. Oh man. What word that is, when the Lord Jesus Christ himself, who is love, is promoting that beautiful word, rizzo. And we'll go to the sigma. You'll see two letters in the sigma. They're both sigma. The first one to the left looks like an omicron with a little tail on it. And the second one looks like a regular S in the English language. But it's a sigma in both cases. The first one is used in the beginning of a word, or in the middle of a word, of a form, I should say. And the other one is used only at the end of a form. And in this particular instance, it's a sotavion. And it's got two accents for some reason. I found that in my HENT, which is the Analytical Greek New Testament that we hold as our text for these words. Sotavion, which means salvation. It not only means salvation, but it also means Jehovah, Jesus Christ himself. Luke 2:30. Again, I'll lead you to Skopan. Skopan is not soterion, but Skopan is a goal. And I've got Philippians 3:14, the goal for the prize of a high calling. And it's available to anybody within the church, within the new man. And let's make that urgingly our scopan. Let's make it our goal. It'd be a wonderful thing for every one of us together to enjoy that beautiful prize of a high calling. I don't know what it is. I can imagine and think wonderful, precious things, and they'd probably be completely out of, you'd think they'd come out of some kind of scientific comic book or somewhere. So I dare not even try, because the Lord said that he will give above what you can even think. I can hardly wait to see what the prize of the high calling is. I pray to God that I will be included in that prize of a high calling. I believe that the first prize for that is going to be the out resurrection. Look it up. I've looked and I can't find any other that could beat that. I would say that that's the prize of a high calling. It's called the ek anastasis. So you're out. It's an out resurrection. So, as far as I can see, it's something to look forward to. It's something to look forward to. All right. The next one is, we just got done with Sigma, and every time I run into Philippians 3:14, I spend a little time on it. Let's go to Tau. It's the letter T in English, but it's pronounced Tau. Some pronounce it Ta, but it doesn't matter. The phonology doesn't matter that much. But it's wonderful to give it an attempt to stay within the scope of Greek, Koine Greek. You find that word, that form, rather, teleos, teleos, in the book of Colossians, chapter 1, 28, to present every man perfect and complete. What a word. Teleos. And there's another inflection to that word I must convey to you. It's a telea tetos. And it means love is the bond of perfectness. That's got to be beautiful. That's got to be very beautiful. Colossians 1:28, to present every man perfect and complete. And the Lord, in His point of view, He sees the new man as already perfect and complete. Otherwise, He wouldn't be a very good workman, because we are His workmanship. He does a good job. Agree? Amen. All right. We'll go to Upsilon. Upsilon is pronounced U. Uparko in this word. Uparko. Philippians 2:6. Subsisting in the form of God. That was Jesus Christ when He descended into the lower parts of the earth. And those letters that you see there to the right, if you can read them, they are E, P, P, A, N, N, S. And it's a verb. It's a participle perfect, nominative case, masculine gender, singular in number. Subsisting in the form of God. When you see any word like subsisting there, ing, it makes it a particle. I'm sorry, I said particle. It's participle. Excuse me. Participle. Particle is entirely different. The participle is a word ending in ing. And some of these things you can find in the H-E-N-T, or in that E-P-P-A-N-M, you'll find it in the H-E-N-T. And to find out what each letter is, like the B is a verb, you can, or, and the P is a participle, and the other P is a perfect. The A, it's a aorist, the end of nominative. I'm sorry, the A is not its active voice. Now you see I'm stumbling there, because we have to go to the glossary of the AG, not the AGNT, but the Analects. Those of you who are not familiar with the Analects, it's simply lexicon. The N in there is analytical lexicon, Analects. And Mike and myself can give you further information on that later on during the conference. But it's an excellent book. It's an excellent, it gives an excellent descriptions of these forms that we're studying tonight. They're good to know, and it's one of the best that I've experienced. And I've only been studying for 30 years, some of you probably for longer than that. But I haven't found anything better. It seems to me that the rest are a lot of mishmash. For the H-E-N-T and the lexical focus and the grammatical focus plus the Analects, four books. You've got, I'm looking for a word. Coordination in teaching and in learning. Wherein others are floundering around like loose butterflies trying to teach the Greek. This Analects and AGNT and the four books that I just mentioned seems to me like they got these butterflies flying in formation. Beautiful, beautiful forms, beautiful coordination of teaching. You even enjoy studying. You just look up the Greek word, the Greek form in the AGNT. You pick up on the tag, I'll call it a morphological tag, the deep. It's got one of those codings. It's called a morphological coding, or tag, if you want to. And you can look them up it's a chart in the middle or in the back of two of those books. Actually, three, all except the Analects. You'll find that chart there. And in studying the Greek, you'll never be at a loss for certainty, for assurity, and confidence. I'm getting a lot out of that stuff. I so much. It's like music. You just fall in love with it. And I'm not a music lover. I like good music. All right, we'll go to from Upsilon. We're going to go to what's the next letter, folks? How do you say it? Not everybody all at once. Louder? E. You're correct. Thank you very much. Okay, it's the comma there in front of the alpha. It's a proper comma, so it's not aspirated. So it's just F, the sound of F. Alpha. There's the accent over the alpha. So it's pronounced aphantos. To vanish. To make invisible. Luke 24:31. You'll find there where our Lord Jesus Christ made himself invisible at a time when he needed to do it. That's when he was thronged and he wasn't ready to die yet. I mean, he did it when he was ready, not when they killed him. Yeah. He counted it joy too, by the way. It's in the book of Hebrews, and I don't know who's teaching on Hebrews, but I'm going to leave that alone. I'll give you the privilege. I'm not giving it to you. You have the privilege. Thank the Lord for that. Okay, now the next letter is pronounced he, like Christ, or Christu, or Christo. But I'm not using that as an example. I'm using karitao, karitao, omicron, omega, omega, karitao. Look at the next one. It's got a different inflection. Ekaritosen. Ekaritosen. Does that sound neat? It sounds neat. Thank you, Mike. And Kathy, I'm sure they believe you. And the rest of you. All right. He. Karitao. If it sounds so neat, let me hear you say it. Karitao. Karitao. How would you anglicize that, Durrani? Karitao? How would you do that? Okay. All right. Karitao. Thanks a lot, Bill. But I know you know what it means, though, because it's accepted in the beloved. If you look at that in the Greek, your AGNT, or any good interlinear, you will find that word exactly the way it's written there. And you pronounce it, ekaritosen, accepted in the beloved. And I'm not going to say any more about that because that's got a lot of punch to it, and I'm going to give it all to Ronnie. And when I get done, when he gets done, I'm going to ask him all about it. Some more. Thanks, Ronnie. Okay, the next one is fee, not fee. It's see, like you're saying. What? Touch a hot stove and you sizzles like. Okay, that's simple enough. Okay, and it's this one is pronounced Salmois, but I put the accent in the wrong place. If you noticed, I put it over the alpha, Salmois, but it's not that. Psalm voice. Colossians 3:16. Psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Sing them. Beautiful songs. If you sing them to the Lord in your heart, they're beautiful. Jack and I were talking this afternoon, and it's so beautiful to sing songs that are so scriptural and rightly written to coordinate those words with the beautiful Word of God. And in that case, man, I'll sing right along with the best of them, even if I don't sound as good as the best of them. Psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. What a word. Psalms. Psalmois. Okay, we come to the last one, which is Omega. Alpha the Omega. Again, I don't need to say what that means. Alpha is the beginning. The beginning is the Lord Jesus Christ. Omega is the end. The end is Jesus Christ. The Alpha, the Omega, the Lord Jesus Christ. Revelation 1:8, 21:6, 22:13. And He is God Almighty Himself. Praise the Lord. I don't think there's anything there that, because it's Ephesians, all I can say is after the ending of this alphabet, Kathy is going to pass some papers around, and we're going to obtain from you individually the letters as you know how to write them. You don't have to put your name on the paper. Nobody's going to grade you. But give it a good try, because you're not going to be graded by me or by God, but I know God is going to love you. That I will guarantee. And, pardon? Leave it up there? Oh, you left it right, don't you? Hey, I'm sorry. I know. Pretty good, man. You didn't think I was going to take it down, did you? I didn't, you didn't mean to. You don't need to put your names on it, no. No, just write, I will say the letter. I will say the letter, and let me know when you're ready to write. Right, you tell them.
As Eddie says the letter, y'all have to answer them. There's space next to each letter, and they don't have to be as fancy as we write them. You know, in kindergarten or first grade, you saw the letter, you heard the letter, you spoke the letter, you wrote the letter. And when you do all those things, then it helps with the learning.
Yes, Dave.
Explain when I said the letter Gramato. This is the copy head right here. Write them just like the copy head. If you'll notice, we haven't studied the capital letters. They're very rarely used in the New Testament, so you can learn those as you learn the lowercase letters. Okay, we're going to start writing. Pick up your pens and start writing Alpha. I'll give you just a few seconds to write it in your own handwriting. Do the best you can. The reason for this, the very best reason, is because it's God's language, number one. And the next reason, there's many other reasons. It gives you an opportunity and an advantage to look up in your favorite lexicon. And I recommend personally the Analex. Okay, you're done with Alpha. Let's go to Beta. That's rather easy there. But, the next one, if I'm going too fast, stop me. Gamma. Let's go to Gamma. I gave you an example. I'll go on Gramat. The next one is Delta. Delta. One is Epsilon. Epsilon. I think for this one, I'll let you look. You think on for Zeta. Oh, I'll let you look. Zeta. Can you fix it for Zeta? Did I see that? That's a tough one. After the Epsilon? Yeah, got it. There it is, see it? Zip. And then do that. Eta. Notice there that that's got the aspirated H. And it is pronounced like an H there. Hagu memory. All right. Thepta. Philematos. Thepta. Yota. You'll be tempted to say iota, but it's not iota for many reasons that I've mentioned. But iota, but it's iota instead of iota. It's iota, but when you say it fast, it sounds like a y. Yota. No, don't dot that I. It's not a English. It's coiny. Next one is Kappa. That's easy because it sounds like the English K. Don't forget that Kappa word is Kurios, which means Jesus Christ. Supreme in authority. Kurios. Logos. Don't forget that one either. Because it's the Lord Jesus Christ. So Logos. I'm going to give you a big surprise on this up here. Logos is also the word that you'll find in the Colossians. When Paul prays for utterance, in the Greek, it's spelled exactly like you see there, Logos. The word utterance, I know some of you don't know that, so now you know. When you see praying for utterance, Paul is praying for the utterance of the word, logos. Utterance in the Greek is logos. Utterance of the Lord Jesus, something about Jesus Christ. Pray for that. next letter, nun. I'm not going to show you anymore. Let's go to nu. Kathy will. Nu. The letter nu. That's an easy one, so we'll go right away to sula or si. Si. That's hard to say sometimes, unless you really give it every need. No. Si. Try it. Si. Very good. Next one is Omicron. P. Which one, Kathy? Yeah, they're very similar, aren't they? Well, given everything you got there, and you'll come up with the right one. And you'll recognize it in the lexicon. Next one is Omicron. Omicron is always pronounced ah. Omicron. Otherwise, it would not be Omicron. But you find when you see that Omicron in the Oi, a lot of people say oikonomia. No, it's not. It's oikonomia. It's very, you got to be alert to see if it's an omega sound or an omicron sound. Because omicron is the short of omega, and omega is the long of omicron. Easy, isn't it? Next one is rho. The R. No. We just went through P. Yeah. Did we do the P or not? Okay, that's next. Sorry. Next. P as in Greek P. Fullness in Greek. Plato. Beautiful word. And the next one is rho. You can say rho if you want to. It's good. It'd be nice. You'll still get it right. So, to help you pronounce it, you would put an RHO in English and try to roll the R. A lot of us can't roll the R's. But it would be, if you roll it, roll. The next one, sigma. You have to write that one twice. Because the first one is in the beginning or the middle of a form. And the second one is at the end of a form. And you can see that in the next word of teleos. The sigma is at the end and it's written just like it's supposed to be. So the next one is tau. Tau, perfectness, complete. Teleos, beautiful word, encouraging word. Encouraging both to ward off any discouragement. And to remember that the Lord is always very encouraging, even to tell us that we are perfect and complete in Christ, only in Christ. Next letter is upsilon. And if that would be aspirated, it would be upsilon. That's the way I would say it. You would just put a strength on the, instead of being silent, ooh, it'd be who, like hooper or super. Like hooperano. Hooperano, as Jack and I discussed today. Hooperano means far above all. Far above all principalities, power. Far above all influence. the same heavens as in Toys of Geronimus, but it's super heavens. What is in Toys of Geronimus really is? It's above all heavens. Uperani. I don't know if it makes sense to a lot of people who want to get untangled with the meaning of those two words. And the next one is Thi. You can write that easily. It's fun. It's a fun letter. You just write a zero and cross it off vertically. Afantas. Key is Christos, Christu, Jesu Christu. That's a beautiful word. Key. See. Some voice. Omega looks like a little W. That's a really easy one. Really easy. One of the easiest. They all become easy. Like Kathy said, you're looking at it to get the visual. You're looking at it because you get the action part by writing it. And now we're going to do it by saying it. So everybody, we're just going to go alpha, beta, gamma, delta. Okay? Let's do four at a time. Ready? Go. Alpha, beta, gamma, delta. Epsilon, zeta, eta, theta, iota, kappa, lambda, mu, nu, si, omicron, p, rho, sigma, tau, upsilon, phi, chi, psi, omega. Okay, let's see, what can we do here in order to assure us that we are confident in saying the alphabet. Anybody got any suggestions? Who wants to do it alone by themselves? Any volunteers?
Ronnie.
Who? Ronnie? You want to do it by yourself? Alpha, beta, gamma, delta? Who?
Mike,
cool.
What?
Without looking. Alpha, beta,
gamma, delta. Epsilon. Theta, theta, iota, kappa, pi, lambda, mu, si, omega, omicron, I'm sorry, si, omicron, pi, rho, sigma, tau, phi, chi, si, omega,
Together doing it. Hey Al, would you dare to try? Just try. Can you see alpha, beta, gamma? You can do that. Alpha, beta, gamma, delta? You can do that. Huh? You're too old? Yeah, you're old. Well, let's everybody do it then, though. Just follow. Everybody together. Four at a time. Alpha, beta, gamma, delta, epsilon, zeta, eta, theta, yoga, kappa, lambda, mu, nu, si, omega, pi, rho, sigma, tau, upsilon, phi, chi, si, omega. Beautiful. Nice going, folks. Nice going. Okay, on those papers, you can give them to Ronnie, and he's going to correct them for you. Give them all a name. Everybody gets a name. Amen. Well, that's good. We're going to study the vowels for just a minute. If any of you gets tired, just holler, and we can take a break. Vowels. The vowels are next. Well, this guy was having fun back there. I can hear you gals back there trying to do the alphabet. You want to do it on the microphone? No takers. Okay, the vowels are as follows. Director over here has given us the green light again. He said to continue on with the vowels. And I want to ask him to keep up the good work as our technician. We are so fortunate to have people like that in the church. It's just great and a pleasure. Greek vowels are as follows. Alpha, Epsilon, Eta, Iota, Omicron, Upsilon, Omega. I know that they're easy, they look easy. All you gotta do is try it on a Greek word. Every opportunity you get. And every time you wanna find the true meaning of a word, or at least a closer meaning to its real true meaning, get with the lexicon. If you have difficulty with the lexicon, I would go to the Strong's numbers and utilize that help that we have. The Lord has given us many helps, And numbers are good, but the real form of the word is better, because in obedience to the Word of God, it said, have a delineation or have a form of sound words. And he said to hold fast to the form of sound words. I believe it's the Koine Greek that he sanctioned when he talks like that to us. But again, we thank God for Strong's numbers. All the uses that we have to help us with Greek language. We'll go through the vowels again, together, all of us. Alpha, Epsilon, Eta, Iota, Omicron, Upsilon, Omega. Yeah, go ahead. No, these are written in the English. Yeah. Yes, this is all. This is except the omega over here. That's written in Greek. That's the only one. The rest are all English, as you can see. That's just to facilitate the pronunciation. Yeah, that's all that's for. So now let's go to the diphthongs. And these are common Greek diphthongs so far. Everybody see that pretty good? The common Greek diphthongs. I as in isle. I've got it like in structural form there to the right. And that's just for uniformity, that's all. No other reason. I, A-I, as in isle. Or Alpha Iota, and in the B letter it's Alpha Upsilon, as in pronounce it as in auction. C, the Epsilon Iota, as in A in eight. The D is Epsilon Upsilon, as in U in neuter. And F is O-I, or Omicron Iota, as in oi, in oil. The next one is Omicron Upsilon, as in U, in youth, or U, in food. And the last one is Upsilon Iota, and it's very rarely used, but it's there, and it's pronounced as we, as in queen. They're very simple until you tackle them in a Greek form. I say tackle because sometimes it's a real effort to locate the sound. I have to look twice before I pronounce. I'm getting to where I get a little speedier as I continue studying. And pretty soon the Lord starts teaching the exact meaning of some of these beautiful words. And I like to do the alphabet first in every one of our lessons or classes, because every word has a dissertation to it. And the Lord gives it to you. I know. Jack and I know, because he told me that this afternoon, that it's the Lord who gives you the words. We're on a vertical with the Lord on a one-on-one basis. I've heard that before, but I love to hear it. And Jack mentioned it this afternoon. Bless my heart. Thank you, Jack. Appreciate it. Let's see, where do we go from here? Let's go to... let's try... Kathy just asked me how much time do we have. Well, you better ask the director about that. Last time we went to the club midnight, but a lot of people went to sleep. And we don't want to put them to sleep. We want to keep you awake. Okay, you're going to be awake for this one. Oi kana meo. That is a root word, and it's not stewardship, and it's not administration like oikonomia, and it's not, I'm telling you what it's not. It's not dispensation, and it's not anything but what it says up there. In the Greek, and the inflection of it, it says, oi kana main. And it appears one time in the scripture. That is away from the other inflections. But that's, that inflection right there is used only one time. In Luke 16:2. In a parable, when the Lord said that he gave talents to so-and-so and such-and-such. And the bad one, he didn't do such and such with his talents. So he called him a bad steward. He did not take care of his responsibility. So he was declared to be a not so good steward of his talents. I included that word there because the Lord has given us a responsibility. When the decree came in Acts 28:28, it was a decree, a formalized decree, after the decree was discussed in the Godhead, in the councils of God, within God. That was discussed, and that word steward comes from the word, as you do it, stewardship. And I think the Lord is teaching us that to be a good steward, we have to be imitators of Paul. I have discussed that with other people. They get encouraged. Some ask, does the Lord really want us to do that? Well, doesn't the Lord give you perfect examples in his word? Doesn't he tell you to be an imitator of Christ and of Paul? Yes. To be an example, it's even stronger than that. Be an imitator. Wow. What a call that is. It's our call. It's a calling. It can't be done. In Christ. In Christ only can it be done. So much for oikonomeo. And I think the Lord's trying to teach us, since he can see the end from the beginning, what oikonomia means. Oikonomia is a root, and it's word used 10 times, which includes various inflections. I would love to go later on. We're going to take like a short break so we can stretch. I'd like to go into the inflections to show you in the AGMT and the other books that we're learning from, how these inflections are used and how they come about and how you can get the strong and emphatic meaning of the Greek words. This one here is oikonomia, and is used in Ephesians 3:9. I won't go too far in explaining that one because that's taking up somebody's lesson. I think Ronnie's speaking on Ephesians, I think, tomorrow. So we'll leave that alone. I will mention one thing about it. It's in Ephesians 3:9 that begins, with to bring to light what is the oikonomia of the mystery. To bring to light or enlighten. What is? Enlighten what? To bring to light what? To bring to light the dispensation of the mystery. That's about all it says up there. That's all as far as I'm going to go. It appears only one time in the New Testament. In that particular passage, in that particular inflection. Okay, oikonomia, and again it's in Ephesians, and it comes from oikonomia. So I'm going to leave that alone. Oikonomias defines stewardship, the office of the steward that we explained in the book of Luke. It's a house manager or in charge of a household. This form appears two times, twice in the New Testament, in Luke 16, 4. And let me mention the other one. Did I? Yeah, Luke 16, 4. And 16, 2. Yeah. Okay, oikonomos. That's an Ephesians. No, it's not. So I'll use that one. Oikonomos. As a noun, so it's a steward in charge of public funds or properties or treasure, an overseer, oikonomos. For overseer, you can also use the word diakonos, deacon. It's not there, but it is in your lexicon. You'll find, if you look these up, that they are very, very familiar, similar. And you can check them out for yourself later on. It's that this one, oikonomos in particular, is a noun, nominative case, masculine gender, plural in number. Now you see down there it says nominative, masculine, singular. That's the encoding or the tag or the morphological encoding. Form appears three times: Luke 12:42, 16:3, and Romans 16:23. When you look it up in the lexical focus, and Mike can tell you what a lexical focus is. Mike and I studied together at my home in White, South Dakota. We didn't go as extensive as we wanted to, but we're going to make other studies like this. And in the lexical focus, you can find the root word, and you can find where that form appears in every single place in the scripture. In the New Testament. Because the lexical focus book, it's a big book. Mike brought them with him on this trip, and they're situated where they are. Like, oh, they're over here in front of Mike, right here. Could you hold one of them up, Mike, please?
$20.
That's what a big one.
The AGNT, that's the Analytical Greek New Testament. This is a two-volume group that he's talking about. Here's the lexical focus, which goes along with the AGNT. Here's the grammatical focus. And these might be a little bit harder to find. I called up
Baker
Bookstore.